I notice that people say good morning way better to my son, as I've said. And I'm going to try not to be envious of that. I will confess, we will have a moment of confessions of a sinful pastor in a second. Listen, I have five announcements I have to make. So here we go, ready? If you have a pen, you want to take these down. First and foremost, starting out in the new year, we want to take a survey of just where we are as a church. You know, we're 2+ years into this whole thing, and we really want some feedback, and we want some real feedback opposed to just what we want to hear feedback, right? So we have set that up in kind of a neat way. Patty is going to be personally overseeing survey for me, okay? Which means that you actually have to sit down with somebody and talk to them. You're not just going to fill it out on a piece of paper. Which means that I will actually get the opportunity to hear real things as opposed to, I think this is what Andy wants me to say things, right? Or anonymous, I really don't like you, Pastor Andy, but I'm not going to put my name on there, right? So if you're going to be, you know, willing to say, you're going to have to say it to her, and she's not going to tell me who said it. She's just going to kind of put it all together. Although, you never know. She might decide, Paul, you're right. She might decide to do that. Now, in order to honor Patty, there's a sign-up sheet, you know, for just different times that she's available, and it will be done here, you know, so it shouldn't take a ton of time out of your schedule, but I'm asking you very nicely as pastor on behalf of the deacons and deaconesses, if you would please help us with this and just do this, right? But again, honesty, which isn't in the love thing, trustworthiness is, but honesty isn't, it's really, really going to be important. So help me out with that. If you don't, then you're going to have a meeting with me, which could be worse off for you. Yippers. That's right. Thank you. Anybody who's now going to listen to this week online is going to, all they're going to hear is these pauses and me looking at Paul's. Paul's face is right there. Like, this sounds really, sounds good. Second thing, men, you see it in the bulletin. I want to implore you to come out on the 30th from 9 to 10 o'clock. We're going to eat breakfast. John is going to share with us, and I'm very excited about that. And so just come on out, give me an hour of your time, and we can just hang out, bring somebody, but we really need you to sign up so we know, since John and I are cooking, we really need your help. And multiple ways, him not so much, me, yes, but we need to know how many people, right? Third thing is if you have been, Bill did a really good job of trying to pull some stuff out of people this morning, at like, hey, have you done this challenge thing? We're doing this, putting stuff on Facebook, we're putting stuff online, and if you go on Facebook, if you go online, if you would just kind of fill something out, you know, start a conversation on there, like, hey, I did this and it didn't go so well, my husband got mad at me, my mom, you know, my family got mad at me, my wife got mad at me, you know, type of thing. We're just looking for ways to kind of be interactive on this whole Facebook thing, like, hey, I wouldn't recommend that you do this. You know, would be even okay. Whatever, to get some conversation started. Fourthly, if you didn't notice, how many people did notice the bulletin board that I walked by the other day and didn't notice? Right? See, Joe, it's not just me. There is a bulletin board that Joe has spent some time and energy. Look at that on your way in and on your way out. And there again, you will get your pastor's challenge for reading 1 Corinthians, the 4-8, done. Okay? Lastly, I was talking to Joe. Joe and I, when we get together and we chat, usually great things happen. So this is our 125th anniversary, and we have decided that we need to be excited about participating in a little bigger way in the Memorial Day parade. So we are looking to build a float that we can actually put in the parade And that we can be a part of, which would make, by the way, our water passing out a lot easier, because we would have access to everybody on the route rather than, you know, us going up and down and all around. There's only one problem. I can be really creative. I really can. And I could do this all by my lonesome, but that would be no fun. So we're looking for some creative ideas, some creative people, you know, anybody, somebody who wants to spearhead this and take charge. They're like, that sounds like the greatest idea in the world. I'd be willing to do that. We know that we have access to a float, you know, a wagon. So we're good on that. We just need some ideas of what to do with it. And then we need some brave people who would actually want to be on it, right? So start thinking ahead, because this will happen really, really quickly, believe it or not. After we get the 2 feet of snow this week that we're going to get at our house, things are going to go to spring really quickly. I'm absolutely assured of that. Make sense? All right. Confessions of a sinful pastor. You ready? Last week was patience. This week we're going to talk about kindness, and we're going to talk about envy and boasting. And as your pastor, I need you to know that I am going to go 0-for-4 this week. Okay? Like, I am not a very patient person. Inside, I have learned how to make it look like I'm patient, right? Which is really good. You can sit there with really big eyes listening to somebody, right? But inside, I want things to get fixed really quickly, and I want things to happen really quickly. I am not patient inside, that is for sure. Number two, you will notice that I am not always a kind person. We're going to talk about that in a minute, okay? I am frequently envious of other people, and I would really like to be boastful of all the great things that I've accomplished in life if I had actually accomplished great things in life. That would be a little easier to do, right? So I don't know where you are, but I'm finding this very challenging and having to look through this whole thing. And so this morning, we want to put three things that I want to time together, because I think I can do that. So if you join with me, let's pray and then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the worship. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you love us. And Lord, regardless of if we're 4-for-4 by the end of this service, if we're 0-for-4, Lord, you love us no matter what. You have a plan for us. And Lord, we can always, always count on you. So Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds, and hear me. Amen. So we talked last week about patience. I wanted to do like a little, hey, show of hands, how many of you are above a 7 on the patience level? Because those are the people I really want to have on my board and I really want to surround myself with, right? But I decided not to do that. But I hope that you really did some thinking at least this week on whether or not you're a patient person, right? Because the whole idea, the whole reason that you and I are even still on this planet is that God is patient, right? That is who our God is. And we want to portray that to other people. So, like, here's the idea, right? We're supposed to be portraying our Christ-likeness to other people. We're the example. So your interaction with your spouse, your interaction with your kids, your interaction with your coworkers, your interaction with people in the store around you, all of those kind of things, people are looking at you and they're determining really whether or not you're Christ-like or not. Now, sometimes that's unfair because they don't have a good perception of what Christ is, or they have a preconceived idea and they think that Christians are supposed to be perfect, right? But for a lot of people, the only Christ they're ever going to see is us. And so we know that God is patient with us, so that allows us to be patient with other people. The second thing that Paul goes on to say is, he says, not only is love patient, but love is what? Kind. And, you know, we live in a world today where kind is thrown out a lot. People know about kind. But most of the time, it's through actions, isn't it? Have you ever been a part of that whole random acts of kindness thing? People were, it's a big, huge thing. On the news, they would show it. Somebody paid forward at McDonald's, and the line went on for hours and hours and hours and hours. That people just kept paying for the person behind them, and it was just this great thing. Right, to random acts of kindness. Churches got into it. The water that we do on Memorial Day would be considered random acts of kindness. We're walking up to people who don't know us and have no connection with us, and we're saying, hey, here's some water on a hot day, right? No, those are random acts of kindness, and most of us get that, and we like it because we're in total control, right? We're in control of that. We decide when we're going to do it, and we honor people with it. Can I just tell you a practical example? I saw it this morning. So we sang Oh How He Loves for the second time, right? Totally different the way Ruth plays it than the way that Donna did with the choir, right? Ruth is playing it off of what she hears, because we've listened to the song for 6-7 years now, right? It's been my favorite song. And so she's just singing along with what she knows. The problem is the majority of you haven't listened to it on the radio, nor have you heard it for 6 or 7 years. However, I listened to a bunch of people 2 weeks in a row now attempting to honor and sing the song that they have really no idea what the song sounds like. And believe it or not, I paid close attention as I was sitting there, and it looked like I was sleeping. And I paid close attention because I heard it was different last week than it was this week, right? And we honored. That's a random act of kindness. When we do stuff, we say, listen, we know Ruth's up there trying and she's playing, and we're just going to honor people, right? But we're in control of that. We like Ruth. What happens if we don't like Ruth? The easiest way to get rid of Ruth playing the piano is nobody sing, right? And then Donna comes back and says, how does it go? And everybody went, it was awful. Nobody sang. Nobody knew what they were doing. And Donna goes, I'm never asking Ruth again. Right? We do that. Listen, you've seen that happen at your workplace. You've seen that happen in church. You've seen that place where people decide we're not for this person, and so we're just not going to support them, right? But kindness goes beyond actions. When Paul talks about being kind, he's not talking about what you do. He's talking about who you are. You see, we judge people. We decide whether somebody's kind based on what they do. So if you walked in here and you saw that almost every Sunday without fail, I greet each one of you and I hug most of you, and you would say, well, Andy's, he's a kind person. Look it. That's how we define kind. But if I'm doing it just because it's my job and I'm getting paid to do it, you don't know that, do you? Not one of you knows the intentions of why I do it. But yet everybody's deciding. They're looking at it and they're saying, oh, Andy, he's a great guy. He's kind. He listens and he smiles and he tears up with us and he does the things that he's supposed to. You know, you can learn how to do that. You know, it's the same concept. You know, I love swords. I haven't brought one for almost a year. So here we go. Right? And I had to buy a new one just so I could do it. These swords are specific. Anybody know what this sword is? It's very, very, very specific in nature. Bill knows. Right? What is it, Bill? Okay. This is a gladiator sword. Okay. Now, if I immediately, when I say this is for gladiators, what's the purpose? You guys are smart enough to know Colosseum. What was the purpose of gladiator? To battle, right? But ultimately, who survives? Only one person who kills everybody else, right? So this isn't made to battle and be like, hey, I bested you, you know, you're done. This is like, listen, there's only going to be one gladiator standing at the end, and he has to be alive, and the rest have to be dead, right? And so this sword is created for one purpose. It's not to have battle with people. It is not to fight people. It is to kill people. That's why it's got the very thin beginning. This is what it does. Right? And if I said to you, listen, is it possible for somebody to wield a sword like this and be kind? Now, all of you have changed your entire opinion of me. Right? I chose to order this sword. Isn't that amazing? Listen, can you be a kind person and carry around a gladiator sword? Is it possible for a gladiator to show kindness? Right? Is the idea, if I'm a kind person, I will never use this sword? Is that the idea? Because most of us, that's the deal. Like, if you're a kind person, you would never shoot anybody, right? You would never say anything bad to anybody. You would never do anything bad to anybody. You would never, that's the whole idea. We have this concept, and we define kind by the actions, right? Like, kind people, they're just never mean. They never do anything bad. But if we look at it, we say, listen, does there exist a possibility where a kind person would use a sword like this? The answer is yes. Right? We can get there. So we have to all of a sudden say, listen, kindness isn't just based on what you do. We don't judge each other based on what we do. We look at kindness and we say, if Patty comes up to me as a deaconess and she says, Annie, I gotta talk to you. That was an awful sermon on Sunday. Like, that was just, you were so off, and I didn't understand half of what you said, and you were just babbling, right? Am I going to look at her and think that was kind? No, I'm going to pick up my sword and go, what did you say, Patty? Right? And Patty's going to go, I meant to say. Right? That's how we interact with people all the time. Our wife comes up to us, she says, Andy, what you said, how you said it, that didn't come across the way you wanted it to. Joe sent me an email last night that said, Andy, I don't get what you're trying to say. Right? And I read it this morning and went, I don't get what I was trying to say. Wait, no, was that mean that Joe's being mean to me, picking on my bulletin insert? It's mine. Why don't you just put it in the way I said to put it in, right? But isn't there kindness in her pointing out, Andy, if I put this in the bulletin, you're going to look like a fool. And we really don't want to look like a fool. If Patty comes up to me and says, Andy, I'm concerned about you. Man, how you preached the first few months you were here and how you're preaching now, it's different. What's going on? Now that's kindness, isn't it? That's saying the same thing, which is, I'm a little concerned about your messages, right? Somebody should have said in the last year, Andy, I'm a little concerned you haven't preached with a sword, right? Because when you were first here, they popped up all the time. And now, like, you're away from that. You're not doing what you do, right? Somebody said to me this last week, Andy, it was great to hear you tell a story again. See, you know when I'm on, because that's how I start my messages usually, is with some kind of a story that brings people in. Right? And so people, we look at things and we say, listen, kind people, it's not that we use the Bible to bash people over the head. Right? Which you've all been a part of places where that's been done. Right? The Bible says, woman, be submissive. The Bible says, man, love me like the church, like Jesus loves the church. Okay, I love that one, just for the record, because Jesus to the church, he has really good moments, and he has moments where he says, how long do I have to put up with you? Right? How long do I have to keep doing this? Right? So you got to be careful what you want on that, right? But if we use the Bible and we say, listen, kindness is not actions, it's who you are. It's the fact that in any situation, that which is in you comes out, right? And even when you have to do the tough things, when you have to discipline, right? When you punish your children to try to get them, you know, to understand this was wrong, you do it in such a way where it isn't to destroy somebody, it's to edify them, it's to build them back up. It's to say, listen, I love you, and I care about you, and I'm really not trying to fix you. Because acts of kindness are all about fixing situations, aren't they? You're thirsty, here's some water. You need money, here's some money. You need this. That's what acts of kindness do, is they look at a situation and they say, I can help here, I can fix this. Kind people aren't walking around looking what they can fix. Kind people are just being who they are. And so when they run across the situation, it doesn't matter who needs their help. Do you understand that? And it doesn't matter why somebody needs their help. Kind people don't look at a kid's situation and say, I don't like your parents. I do like your parents. I'm going to help you. I'm not going to help you. They don't look at situations and say, I don't like my boss, so I'm not going to help him, but I like this coworker, so I'm going to help them. That's not what kind people do. Those are acts of kindness. Kind people just simply are. And our Bible says that God is patient and God is kind. It is who he is. He does not look down and go, zap, kindness. Ooh, don't like you, no kindness. That is why blessing falls on those who deserve it, which is nobody for the record, and those who don't. God says the rain falls on what? Yeah, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on those who are believers and those who don't. Why? Because our God is kind. Now, because of his kindness and because of who he is, there's a third thing. And sometimes we define things by what they are, right? So if I said to you, my favorite drink, right, is Pepsi. And I said, somebody define Pepsi for me. So I live on an island. I've never had Pepsi before. What would you describe it as, right? Well, if you're me, immediately you're going to describe it by what it is not. I'm going to immediately say to you, it is not Coke. It does not taste anything like Coke. It is way better than Coke. Right? And the person on the island is going, what's Coke? Right? But there are times in our lives where we define things by what they are, and then there's times where we define by what it's not. It's not this. It's not this. It's not this. And so God, in this section, he's defined twice right away. He is patient. He is kind. Now, he's not these things, right? And it's important to understand it, because really what God is doing is he's contrasting who he is with who we are, our nature. Right? And so he goes on and he says, God is not, what's the third one? God is patient, God is kind, he is not jealous, he's not envious. Now, the most translations are going to say envious, and there's a reason for that. I've told you before. Jealousy works this way biblically. That's right. It's God says, I am a jealous God. Right? I am a jealous God. Why is God jealous? What is he jealous of? For love for him, right? So jealousy works this way. Right? I am afraid that if this church decides to honor Bill, right, that it is going to take away from me. Right? That is what jealousy is. I don't want you to be honored, or I want the same honor, because I'm afraid that it's going to take away from me. Right? All of a sudden, people are going to go to Bill. They're going to look at Bill, and they're going to say, oh, Pastor Bill, he's great, he's wonderful, he's awesome. And I'm worried about that. God says, that's how I am. God says, I am jealous. I'm afraid that you will fall for the love of money. I am afraid you will fall for the love of your spouse over me, the love of your kids over me, the love of your job over me, the love of whatever it is. So you want a challenge this week, right? Make sure that you talk to people about, is there anything that you love truly above God? Because God says, I'm jealous for that. I am afraid that giving you too much success is going to pull you away from me, right? I'm afraid that if I give you what I want to give you, that you will forget me and turn away. Now, of course, in the Bible, there are zero examples of that. Right? Never did the Israelites or anybody else ever turn away from God because he blessed them. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe the Bible is full of those examples. Right? Of people who loved. The Bible says Solomon loved his wives. He loved his wives, and therefore they drew him away from God because they were not godly women. They were from other nations. They worshipped other gods. And God says, that's what I'm jealous of. Envy goes a step further. And it says, listen, not only do I want what you have, right? But I absolutely, positively do not want you to have it. See, jealous is, I'm okay with you guys rewarding Bill. Just reward me too. Right? Or keep in mind, I'm still first. Right? Envy says, no way, I do not want Bill to have any recognition ever. And listen, you guys work with people and you see people like that all the time. It's not that they just want what you have, it's they do not want you to have it. That goes way beyond just jealousy, right? That's an intent thing. That's something that's inside. Again, this is an inside thing, which stirs up emotions, and it says, listen, you do not deserve to be honored. And we see that all the time, and unfortunately we see that all the time in churches, don't we? We find reasons not to be for people. We find reasons to say, this person, do you know their past? Do you know what they did? Do you know where they've been? Do you know how they are? Do you know who they really are? If I got paid $5 for every time I had a conversation with somebody, and in the conversation said, do you know who they really are? I would be wealthy. Because people are constantly trying to convince me of who other people are or who they're not. Why? Because it elevates. See, envy elevates yourself. Envy says God made a mistake when he made you. And somebody, and that's exactly right, and let me fix that. Let me put you in your place. Envy causes people to do really, 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 really dumb things. Right? If you have your Bible, turn with me to Genesis. I just want to quickly look at Genesis chapter 4. Right? It's the story of Cain and Abel, so you already know it. Most of you probably could quote it for me, paraphrase it for me. But I want you to look at this. It says this. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel on his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were there, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. This is where envy goes. Listen, I don't think most of us are going to pick up a sword and go kill somebody, right? But I bet you every single person in this room has attempted or has accomplished the murder of somebody verbally at one point or another. Right? This is what envy does, is it eats away at us and it destroys our insides. All we can think about, think of that person. All you can think about is that situation. All you can think about that is that person, right? All you can think about is how they don't deserve it, or what they did that was wrong to you, what they did that was bad to you, and you got to fix this, and you got to make it right, and it eats and eats and eats and eats at you. And God says to Cain, "Listen, if you just do what's right, you'll be accepted. Right? You listen, I'll honor you too. I have a desire to honor you. But just by the fact that we're envious about a situation, does that mean we deserve? Probably means the opposite, doesn't it? If I'm envious of a situation, would the God of the universe look down and go, "Oh, that's a good quality. Let me reward that." He looks at Cain and he says, "No, Cain, get it right," right? And he implores Cain, "Get it right. Sin is crouching at your door." Do you know what happens with envy? It starts with a thought of, "Man, Bill didn't deserve that. Man, I didn't deserve that." On the flip side, there are things and times when we get punished, when we get disciplined in something, right? But there's no worse place to be when there's a group of people awaiting for an award. Nobody knows who's going to get it. Everybody's hoping it's them. And watch what happens. You ought to be up in the front looking at the people when you announce the award and who won it. There's one person who's going, "Oh, me? Oh, it was me?" And they come up front, and everybody else is immediately thinking in their head, "Why did they get it?" And you see, facially, you see all of these inquisitive looks like, "I don't understand. Why wasn't it me? Why was it them?" And then you'll start, and inevitably, you'll start hearing little whispers, because somebody in the crowd can't shut up, and they will look to the person next to them and go, "Can you believe that? Like, how did that happen?" And they'll start listing why that person, don't they? Like, "Do you know that they did this, 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 and this?" We question because we crave it. When we don't get it, we turn into just as much of a murderer as Cain does. Don't we? Sometimes we go as far to invite our brother or our sister out to the field, wherever that might be, out to lunch, out to dinner, to an office, to our house. Most of us invite people to our house that we want to attack because we feel comfortable, right? And we attack them. And we make sure that they know they do not deserve what they got, right? That's what happens with envy. Now, there's a thing that goes right along with envy, because envy is about the fact that I don't want you to have what you have because I deserve it, right? And so the fourth thing is, it says that God is not, love is not boastful, right? The Bible talks a lot about boasting, and I want to look at that quickly. I want you to turn with me to Galatians. And if I could find it, I'd let you know where it was. do not be patient. But I want to go to Ephesians. Oh, that's the page next door. So go to Ephesians with me. Right? And I want you to start with, in chapter 2, that's probably where I meant to be. See, this is what happens when you have a bunch of markers. You think, there's something there I need, and it's just not there. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to start with verse 6. It says this, "And God raised us up with Christ, seated us up with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus," right? "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast," right? "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us." I said, the Bible warns that the reason you have been gifted, the talents that you have been allowed to develop, the place that you are on this planet, there are 7 billion plus people on this planet, that if you are claiming to be Christ-like, you're claiming to be a Christian, then you believe in the Bible, then you believe that you were created, and you were created for a purpose. Right? Created with a purpose. That's the greatest thing about creation. Right? It's the fact that it's not some haphazard thing that you got to figure it all out. Creation says that there's a process, right? There's a evolution process, right? So we can complain, we can talk about that a long time if you want to. But God does create a process. It is the evolution of you and I, right? The development of us. Right? But there is a purpose. There is a plan for us. And everything we go through, God takes everything and he works it out for good, right? The Bible says he puts it all together and he says, listen, everything about you and everything that I have placed within your hands is about fulfilling my purpose for you. That is the difference between being Christ-like and not being Christ-like. Right? That our purpose is to accomplish what God has called us to do, which is to use what we have been given, develop who we are, to tell other people about Christ. If you're breathing, that is why you're breathing. That God still says, I have a plan for you. I have things for you to do. I have people for you to touch. Now, you have choices in life. You can look around you, and much like Nebuchadnezzar, you can stand looking over the city of Babylon, and you can say, look what I built. Look at what I have done with my hands. You can stand in your house, and you can stand at your job, and you can stand with your family, and you can stand in your church, and you can look out over, and you can say, look at what I have done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at what I've built. Look at what I have done. You can do that. You have a right to do that. But I would remind you that instantaneously Nebuchadnezzar started acting like a cow. Because what you do is you take God's glory. Or you can look out at everything that God has given you. And by the way, whether you think you have a lot or not, you do. And you can look at your health, and you can look at your finances, and you can look at the people God has put in your path, and you can say, look at what God has blessed me with through Christ Jesus. Paul says in Ephesians, it's all about Jesus, it's not about you. Why does it have to all be about Jesus? Because you know what? Given to our own nature, we're going to boast. You see, we love, whether we say we do or not, all of us love that moment where people are looking at us and going, oh, the spotlight moment, right? Look at what a great person they are. Look at what they accomplished. Look at what they did. And God says, listen, do you know what those moments are for? That Andy Fred, when you get it right and I work through you and you actually preach a good sermon, you know what the purpose of that? It's not so people can look at you and say, oh, we want him to be our pastor. It's so that they look at him and say, holy cow, he's led me closer to Jesus. He's showing me Jesus. He's showing me who Jesus is. He's showing me what Jesus wants me to do. Does that make sense? But listen, we're human. We want to boast. Some of you guys have accomplished amazing things. Right? Amazing things. Even in my life as a pastor, God has blessed me to be able to do some really cool things. Standing on a floating stage on Lake Chautauqua, speaking to 1,000 people is a pretty cool thing as a pastor. Unless you really get seasick, and then it's not so cool. God allowed me to do that. I could say, listen, guys, no offense, but speaking to 25 or 30 people every Sunday kind of pales in comparison, right? But then that's all about me. Do you know what makes me excited about speaking about 20 or 25 people? Is God lets me do it. It's all about God and where He places you and what He places you to do. You're never retired. You're never done until you take your last breath. Wherever God puts you. So if our friend Dave, who captains a big ship, retires and all of a sudden he captains a little kayak. And he goes out with Don and they go captain their little kayaks together out on the rivers, right? It's no less important. Dave doesn't look at Don and say, did you know I captained a big ship traveling all over Lake Erie? You know, this is kind of anticlimactic, Don. You know, being just on a one-man ship. He looks as if there's got to be a reason. I'm still going to boast, but I'm going to boast in Jesus that He lets me do that. That He's put me on there. Because you know what? As we're going down the creek, who knows who we're going to run into? Who knows what we're going to see? Who knows how it's going to develop? And that's what God knows that you don't know. He said, listen, if you boast in your accomplishments, that's it. God is very clear. Let me finish with this. God is very clear about this. And He says, listen, if you get rewarded on earth, that's your reward. You're not double rewarded. So you built your big financial capital thing. That's great. That's your reward. You're not going to get to heaven and there's going to be a bank account saying, you did such a great job building up your finances. Here's some more. God says, if you're rewarded by this earth, that's your reward. But if you choose to do things within me, is what Jesus says, and you boast about me, then there's this great reward in heaven. And you will be rewarded when you're looking not to be rewarded by men. So I go to work every day and I want to be rewarded by Jesus because I'm spending forever with Jesus, not my boss. Well, some of you might get to spend forever with your boss, right? But I'm not trying to please my boss, the physical person. I'm trying to please my boss, Jesus. And my boss says that love is patient. Golly, I wish he hadn't said that. And my boss says that love is kind. And that's inconvenient for me. Because I want to be kind to people who are kind back to me. Or to people I like. And my boss says that I'm not to envy other people. So I'm to stand there and I'm to applaud somebody who gets an award with a heart for applauding them. Not with a, how could I have gotten that? And I'm to look at what I've accomplished and I'm to say, do you know the only reason I accomplished any of this is because of God. Because He has a purpose for me. And He could have put me in India. And He could have put me in Africa. And He could have put me in Timbuktu. He could have put me anywhere on this planet. At any time in the last forever, right? He could have done any of that, but He chose right here, right now, with these people, at this place, and this stuff. That's important to remember. So this week, here's the challenge. You see it in your bulletin, hopefully. It says this, are you kind? If you want to do a scale of 1 to 10, go right ahead, do that. Listen, if you're a husband and wife, I'm really not trying to start fights and pick things. Actually, I really am. Okay, but you know, you could probably word that better and not do the scale of 1 to 10, you know, look at each other and go, are you kind? Yeah, you're kind. If you want a real conversation, then look at each other and say, well, I don't know, why do you do what you do? Do you cook me dinner because it's a random act of kindness and you're trying to get credit for it so that, you know, I'm going to stand up and tell everybody that you cook for me? Or are you doing it because that's what you want to do? Right? Second thing is, are there people that you envy? That's a you personal thing. Maybe as a family you do it. Are there people you look at and you say, man, I do not want you to have what you have. I'm envious of you. right? And then the third thing says, do your words bring glory to God? And it should say, finish out there, say, or to yourself. Ask somebody, do I talk a lot about myself? Is every story about what I've accomplished, what I've done? Now listen, there are people that use that pretense. And I say, I'm just giving a testimony. I'm just telling people what God has done in my life. You know the difference between somebody who's talking about what God has done in their life and somebody who's talking about themselves. Right, so are you that person? Are you a person that you're constantly talking about other people, asking them, or are you talking about yourself? That's the challenge. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to look at your word. Lord, we're thankful that you clearly define who you are and who you're not. Lord, you are jealous for us. We sang a song that says that clearly. You want us. You want us to worship you. You want us to bring you glory. You want us to have you as first in our life. Lord, too often we boast about the things that you allow us to do as if we've accomplished them somehow. And in an instant, Lord, you could take that all away. You could give us non-clarity of mind and we wouldn't be able to accomplish anything that we've so built and that we've accomplished so far. So Lord, we pray that we would keep that in mind. Lord, we want to be about who you are and we want to look like you. So help us to do that this morning in your name. Amen.